We know that solar power requires solar panels and wind power requires wind turbines, but how is tidal power generated?
Well, actually, there's a very, very long history with harnessing the tides, and it dates back even to Roman times. But not many people know that during the 1600s, there were thousands of tide mills all across Europe and across the eastern seaboard. And that technology has changed over time. Sometimes there's a dam called a barrage where they trap high tide and then harness it and send it through a chute to generate electricity during the lower tides. But today, the most common method is what they call in-stream, which is a device that looks a lot like either a windmill or a propeller that goes underneath the water in a tide stream, optimally about 5 knots of current.
And is tidal power currently being used in New England?
Well, yes. There are many, actually, small devices in the water all across the world. But on the East Coast, there's a number of them up in Maine. And, of course, in the East River, just south of here, Verdant has devices in the water that have been in there for 5+ years generating power. They're, you know, it's more on an experimental level right now, and they're making great inroads. In fact, some of the best experimentation is going on here in New England area.
And I guess what percentage of power is coming from tidal power?
Worldwide, it's known that renewable energy fills about 10 to 15% of the energy needs worldwide. And of that 10 to 15%, tidal energy is a very small percentage. It might be 10% of that.
Why is the percentage so small?
Well, because, again, there are so many different factors, and we're really in the early stages of this in-stream technology. I mean, one of the challenges you can imagine is launching these things. And you've got to go, for example, you pick a tidal area that's optimum, running about 5 knots with a fairly flat bottom with not too much traffic in it or any other obstructions in terms of use of the area. So we find that area, and then you can only launch a tide energy device during slack water. And so in a high current area, that could be a 10 to 15 minute window just twice a day. And one of those times is during the night. So it's extreme. You've got a large barge, let's say, a large device, and you've set this all up, and you're all on union wages or whatever, and you're going out, and so let's just say the barge is costing $20,000 an hour, and you get out there, and you're all ready to launch this thing at that 10-minute window, and something goes wrong, a little widget breaks or whatever, and all of a sudden, you've got to abort, you've got to anchor and wait for the next tide, another 6 hours at whatever cost per hour. I mean, it's just the stakes are very high. Plus, these tide channels, where it's optimum to produce electricity, they have to be in a place where there's a need for electricity, right? One of the best tide energy spots in the world is up in the Bering Sea. And there's nobody there that needs electricity. And another challenge that we have is that United States doesn't have a unified policy that supports renewable energy. It's state by state, but it doesn't have one, a national policy that supports this, where Scotland does and Germany does and France and Portugal and Spain. So we've got a disadvantage there. So it takes a tremendous amount of money and time and so forth. And we need the state support, we need the national support, but it's a struggle.
I'm speaking with Jonathan White about tidal power as a source of renewable energy. He's written about the topic in his book, Tides, the Science and Spirit of the Ocean. You mentioned in your book, one of the best sites with the most potential for generating tidal power is New England. So what makes New England such a great spot?
Well, New England is a good spot for a number of reasons. One is that there's a great need for electricity here. So it's easy to tie into the grid. It's got large tides, and it's got a lot of inlets, a lot of passages where you've got current flow, and I mean, countless, really. So there's tremendous potential up here.
And would using more tidal power benefit the region?
Absolutely.
In what ways?
Well, I think that everything we can do to get away from petroleum-based energy use is for the good of everybody. When I first started this research, I was a naysayer about tide energy primarily because of environmental reasons, how it may affect large mammals or how it might affect or change the tidal regime of bays and estuaries in a negative way. But the more I researched this and I traveled all over the world, I went to Chile to study the tides in the Straits of Magellan. And I went up to the northern tip of Scotland, to the Orkney Islands, where they're doing a lot of tide energy research up there. And up on the British Columbia coast of Canada, and of course up in Maine, and here in this area, what I see is that that this is promising, and it's important to do whatever we can to to get over our addiction to petroleum energy and the polluting energy that is, and to oil basically, and so. I think all our efforts are positive if we're moving away from that, all of them, no matter where they go. You know, there could be some dead ends here, and then we change course and we go a different direction. But the efforts and the ambition and the dedication to get off of our oil addiction, I think, is really, really important right now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you, Avery. I appreciate it.
That was Jonathan White. He's a marine conservationist and has done research on tidal power for his book, Tides, the Science and Spirit of the Ocean.